A worship bulletin, that's what we'll be following with the scripture reading, and I'll ask the readers just to come on down front when it's your turn to read, and we'll read the verses of the each of the hymns that are printed in our worship bulletin. But we're glad you're all here for this Maundy Thursday. Please stand and let me read from God's Word, a call to worship from Isaiah 53 that speaks of Christ and His suffering. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Let's pray. Father, we do praise and thank You for the sacrificial love of Your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. On this Maundy Thursday, Lord, we are especially mindful that Christ was fully aware of the path before Him, the path that led to His sacrificial death for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. Thank You that He went that way obediently, faithfully, even joyfully, Father, knowing that there on the cross the price would be paid for our salvation, the wrath of God fully satisfied. And so, Lord, give us grateful, thankful hearts of worship and praise even this evening. Pray that as these scriptures are read, as these hymns are sung, that You would be glorified, and that we would have a growing understanding of Your gracious love for us in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. David is going to help lead our singing this evening.
All right. First one is Man of Sorrows, What a Name, number 246 in the hymnal.
Our first reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, 1 through 5. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people."
Amen. Our second reading this evening is from Matthew also, verses 6 through 13. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it upon his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for my burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." The word of the Lord.
Reading is from Luke 22, 3 through 6. Thank you. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to him to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd.
This is from Mark 14. 12 through 17. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat at the Passover? Eat the Passover with my disciples.' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12.
Our next scripture reading will be from John 13, 1 through 20. "Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled: he who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me."
This scripture is from Luke 22, 21 through 23. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. The Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another, which of them it could be who is going to do this.
This Bible reading will be from John 13, verses 31 through 38. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times."
This is Mark 14:22-26. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink it again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to their own wall.
I'd like to thank all the readers. Appreciate their participation, David for leading, and Jan and Catherine. Just a short message tonight, and a word of introduction, then I'll read some scripture. We've gathered together tonight to sing hymns, hear scriptures that speak about Christ's suffering and his sacrificial death for our sins on the cross, You know, on this Thursday, before Resurrection Sunday, it's good and right for Christians to thoughtfully consider the price that Jesus paid for the salvation of his beloved children. This evening, I'd like to read one final portion of Scripture as we consider the gospel at Gethsemane. And the Scripture I'll be reading from is John 18, reading verses 1 through 11, and mainly just focusing on one verse. But here again, the Word of God, John 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met them there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. And then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. And when Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." And then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And so Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" You know, here, even in Gethsemane, we see that Jesus declared his gospel love for us. You know, and just three truths here, and mainly focusing on the last one of the cup, but we'll see a confrontation and then the courage of Jesus, and finally the cup that Jesus will drink. The first verses, though, speak of a confrontation here. You know, the setting is this. It's Thursday evening, before Easter Sunday, Maundy Thursday. You know, already there's, as we've heard, there's been the washing of the disciples' feet, the identification of Jesus' betrayer, the prediction of Peter's denial, the celebration of the Last Supper. We didn't read it, but previous in John, there were the upper room discourse. And now Jesus and his disciples, they've just finished celebrating what we call the Last Supper. And they had sung a hymn, as we heard. They went out to the Mount of Olives, to Gethsemane. It's just to the east of Jerusalem. You cross the Kidron Valley, rather steep valley, and on the western slope of the Mount of Olives, our beautiful garden of olive trees. And Jesus was often there, a place of safety and security and solidarity for Jesus and his 11 disciples now. But now in this peaceful scene, all of a sudden it's Judas who appears, Judas who betrayed Jesus. And Judas is not alone. He has an assault army with him. He has a band, literally what's called a cohort of Roman soldiers. A cohort, if it were there in its mass, would be 600 soldiers. Most likely they weren't all there, but the Roman soldiers were there as well. Judas brought the temple guards with him. And look at what Scripture says. How do they come after Jesus? With lanterns, clay lanterns, with torches, wooden poles with resinous wood, and all of this light. It's dark, but remember it's a full moon, Passover. And here they are searching for Jesus, Jesus who is the light of the world. And Jesus isn't hiding. And Jesus has the sovereign knowledge of this sinful assault. He steps forward. He doesn't wait for them to take action. He asks the first question, "Whom do you seek?" And the answer is Jesus of Nazareth. They're looking for Jesus the man from Nazareth. And Jesus says, "I am he." When you read through John's gospel, and trust you've been doing that during these weeks leading up to Easter, you'll see that Jesus uses that phrase frequently. You know, "I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door." And here he's saying, "I am." For all intents and purposes, he is saying, "I am God. I'm divine. You're looking for the man, Jesus of Nazareth, but here is the Son of God." And what's the outcome of that confrontation? Look there at verse 6. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back. You know, Roman soldiers didn't flinch at anything. And here when Jesus appeared, Jesus identified himself, the Roman soldiers retreated, fell to the ground, almost a panic scene. You know, there's this confrontation, a retreat and a defeat, and you can then begin to see the courage intensified of Jesus, a holy gospel courage there, beginning in verse 7. You know, a second time Jesus asks this army. I'm sure they heard him the first time, but he's asking them again, "Whom do you seek?" You know, Jesus never shrinks back from the sinful assaults of men. You know, you see it throughout Jesus' life. You know, whether it's, and you will see it in the future, whether it's Annas or Caiaphas or Pilate, Jesus does not flinch. You know, he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. And Jesus courageously then gives commands to these Roman soldiers. "So if you seek me," we read in verse 8, "let these men go." You know, here Jesus the shepherd is protecting these men, his disciples. You're looking for me. You found me. Let the disciples go. We see Jesus' loving watch care over his beloved sheep, and that's true here in Gethsemane, but it's always true of Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 28, we read, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." You know, and here Jesus is again displaying that. No one can snatch them out of my hand. You know, that's the gospel at work here. You know, and finally, verses 10 and 11 here, we see the gospel cup. And you almost have to smile at verse 10. You know, Simon Peter, the zealous one, you know, the one who seemed to act first and think about it later, you know, raised as a fisherman, you know, all of a sudden he has a sword on him. You know, literally, it you could say it's a long knife or a short sword, you know, concealed weapon. And he thinks, well, it's up to me to save Jesus. And so he takes out his sword, and it's dark, and He's a fisherman, not a soldier. He takes a swipe with his sword, and what happens? The ear of the high priest's servant gets cut off. John's gospel, and only John's gospel, tells us the name of that high priest's servant. It's Malchus. Another gospel, Luke's gospel, tells us that after Simon Peter cut off the ear, Jesus miraculously reattached the ear. I believe John includes the name of Malchus because all good reason to believe, I believe that Malchus will be in heaven. You know, that you know, here he appears, he hears Jesus, he sees Jesus, his ear gets cut off, Jesus heals him. You know, how could you not know that that was the Son of God, the Savior of sinners? But now Jesus gives a command to Peter, you know, put your sword away. You know, what do you think you're doing? You know, the Son of God needs no defender. You know, it's about salvation. And then we hear Jesus. And here we're going to slow down just for a moment or two. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given to me? Or another way of reading it, the cup that the Father has given to me, shall I not drink it? You know, what cup is Jesus talking about here? You know, they finish celebrating the Passover. They've drunk the four cups of the Passover. They've had the cup there for the Lord's Supper. You know, this cup is the cup of God's holy wrath against sin. I give you two verses. Psalm 75, verse 8. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. And then Isaiah 51, verse 17. Wake yourself, wake yourself. Stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, who have drunk to the dregs the bowl, the cup of staggering. You know, a few things here to note about this cup. First, this cup is lovingly given by God the Father to God the Son. Lovingly given. You know, God the Father says to God the Son, here's the cup of suffering. I give it to you in love. And in love, Jesus receives it. You know, it's the Father's gracious design and the Son's loving desire to drink that cup. And Jesus lovingly drinks the cup for us. You know, we don't drink that cup of God's holy wrath against sin. You know, Jesus drinks it for us. He drinks it down to the dregs. You know, I've only heard about it. I haven't had cups of wine like that where, you know, the little bit of dregs there at the bottom, and those who are wise, you don't drink the dregs. They don't taste good. They're bitter. The wine may be sweet, but the dregs are bitter. And Jesus drinks it down to the dregs, down to the very last drop for us. You know, Jesus, our good and gracious shepherd, lovingly laid down his life for us. You know, our substitute sacrifice, it should have been us drinking that cup. And Jesus said, no, I will drink it in love for you. Jesus fully bore the penalty for our sins on the cross. Jesus fully paid the price for our salvation. He fully reconciled us to God. You know, he lovingly drinks a cup for us. You know, and here it's the Thursday before the cross. And already we can see the gospel displayed and declared in Jesus Christ. You know, one of the hymns that we sang there, Man of Sorrows, What a Name, you know, has the verse, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. And what's the last line? Hallelujah, what a Savior. You know, as Christ prepares to drink the cup for us, here we see both the goodness and the severity of God. You know, the goodness, Christ is drinking it for us, and yet that cup must be drunk by Jesus. And Jesus' loving gift of salvation, look how Jesus concludes that, shall I not drink it? You know, it's emphatic. You know, there is no other way to pay the price for our sins other than by Jesus' death for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus knew it. He did not flinch. He did not falter. In fact, Hebrews tells us that, you know, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. Now, there is a wonderful collection of Puritan prayers, and we use them in the past, and I'm going to use a part of one this evening. You can find them online. The title of the book is Valley of Vision, and the one I'll be reading a portion from tonight is called Love Lusters at Calvary. Lusters is not a word we use too often, but it's the idea of love radiates. Love is resplendent at Calvary. You know, and hear this with the with John 18:11 still ringing in your ear, shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Christ was all anguish that I might be all joy, cast off that I might be brought in, trodden down as an enemy, that I might be welcomed as a friend, surrendered to hell's worst that I might attain heaven's best, stripped that I might be clothed, wounded that I might be healed, athirst that I might drink, tormented that I might be comforted, made ashamed that I might inherit glory, entered darkness that I might have eternal light. My Savior wept that all tears might be wiped from my eyes, groaned that I might have endless song, endured all pain that I might have unfading health, bore a thorny crown that I might have a glory diadem, bowed his head that I might uplift mine, experienced reproach that I might receive welcome, closed his eyes in death that I might gaze on unclouded brightness, expired that I might forever live. You know, just a couple applications here, too. You know, with every breath, every thought, every gracious action, every gospel word, you know, Jesus declared his sure and saving love for us. He loved us even to death and even beyond death. You know, his love for us never failed, and it never fails. You know, there is great gospel comfort there. But secondly, the gospel certainty. You know, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. He drank the cup that the Father had given him in love for us as our substitute and for our salvation. Let me pray and then we'll sing. And our Lord and our God, we do thank you and praise you for that glorious gospel truth that Jesus drank that cup for us, a cup of God's holy wrath against sin. Lord, we thank you that he bore your holy wrath against sin. He fully paid the price for our salvation with his shed blood, his body that was nailed to the cross for our sins. And Lord, on this Maundy Thursday, this Thursday before Resurrection Sunday, Lord, it's good to be anticipating that resurrection joy. But may that resurrection joy, Lord God, flow from hearts that are grateful, eternally grateful, lovingly grateful for your love for us at the cross. We give you thanks always in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for our closing hymn. God's benediction. And now unto him and to him alone who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, both now and forevermore, we pray. Amen.